Welcome to the CrossFit to Weight War podcast, where we talk about health, fitness, and explore the local community of Fenton, Michigan. We're your hosts, Jen and Andrew Charlesworth. Want to visit us? Head over to www.crossfittoweightbore.com or check us out on Instagram at CrossFitToWeightBore.
All right, welcome to the CrossFit to Weight War Fitness in Fenton podcast. I am Andrew with my partner in crime, PIC, and wifey, Jennifer Lynn Charlesworth. Say hello.
Good morning.
And we wanted to discuss something today, and I'm going to let you kind of lead and go for it, because this was a topic we were talking about in the car.
Yeah. So I was thinking about this morning about the professional services that I use as a consumer. You can probably think of some that you use. Hairstylist, we use a tax person. Mm-hmm. I don't know, we go out to eat, and those are services that we trust people to do the best they can for us. When I get my hair done, I don't ask about the formula used to get the blonde hair that I want. I simply trust my hairstylist.
Correct.
And we are in the micro gym, small business owner setting here. And it happens to be one that we get a lot of questions about the whys behind we're doing or why we're doing what we're doing, you know, things like that. So
why'd you sell the rowers? No,
no, it's one of those, you know, it's a small business setting, but it's somehow a profession that people can look at and say, you know, this is not my profession, but I think I know better.
That
happens sometimes.
Yes, I understand that.
I would never do that to my hairstylist. You would not do that to your tax person.
Mm-hmm. I totally believe you. You would definitely never do that. I would question, but then I would also, if they didn't give me an answer that I liked, maybe I would find a new professional.
Okay.
And honestly, like, I think the biggest thing that we get is, I think we got to go through a background real quick, because there's a lot of new members.
Yeah.
My name's Andrew Charlesworth, legal name's Robert. I started doing CrossFit in 2010. And the only reason I did that was to try to impress her sitting next to me. She started CrossFit in, I believe, 2008, but I'll let her speak in a second. From there, not a lot of people were doing it back then. But I knew that this filled the void of competition in my life, because mm-hmm. you may have met some competitive people in your life. And I believe you probably met some very competitive people. And this is, I'm still speaking. You've never met a more competitive person than myself or Charles Barkley. And I will always say that. So, that filled the void. And we were very used to CrossFit as an extremely extreme, painful throw up sport. I have two best friends who live in Fenton, Michigan, who live less than 0.01 miles from the gym, who I see, who will not step foot into the gym, because in 2010, I made them do Fran and Powerhouse till they both threw up and fell on the ground.
Yeah.
That's what we used to do.
Yeah.
From there, that took me into a personal training life and into a competitive CrossFit life, where, once again, I'm going to let you come in once I'm done. You'll hear more about Jen, but me, Jen, and actually the owner of 810 CrossFit, Joe DeGain, were some of the fittest athletes in this half of the country, which is pretty cool at that time. There's obviously way more. And we would just slam ourselves and do things that were extremely stupid now. But yeah, that was pretty cool. From there, we ended up, or I'm just me first, I ended up getting on seminar staff. And I've been
which
doing
means
that.
What?
Seminar staff is the trainers who deliver the courses, level one, level two.
For CrossFit. Meaning if you want to open an affiliate
mm-hmm.
or become a CrossFit trainer,
mm-hmm.
you go to the CrossFit level one course
yep.
and you teach that.
Yep. Been doing that for 8 years. In that time, qualified for regionals as an individual twice. The only claim to fame I really have of that, I was by far the tallest one. And then from there, have done some other things in sports, college athletes, yada, yada. That is my background, I think, slightly professionally and slightly athletically.
Yep.
Would you like to go real quick?
Sure. We're pretty pretty similar.
We're very similar.
I started CrossFit in 2009, so this will be year 12. Was really the first, maybe you can vouch for this, I think like the first girl in Genesee County that could do a kipping pull-up or a muscle-up.
Absolutely.
That's my claim to fame.
That's why I married you.
I started down at New Species CrossFit. I would drive an hour three times a week to train with Josh Honeycutt, who is one of the best trainers in the business.
Who's still one of our friends.
Yep, still one of our friends. And was a personal trainer at the time. I was coaching at 810 CrossFit at the time under Joe DeGaine, who was on seminar staff of the top of the top. So learning from him. Eventually got on the CrossFit Kids staff first in 2014. And so we taught people how to teach kids, which is a very different beast than adults. After that, I got on the level one staff, the level two staff. We both have our CrossFit level threes, which is a certification. And in that time, I qualified for regionals twice as an individual and once on a team. Yeah, I've been super competitive in CrossFit. And yeah, it's just been a journey.
So now that
so
you
we're
have,
not inexperienced, I
right?
Guess.
Yeah, and that in no way is that to brag either.
No,
I would probably brag about a lot of other things about myself than just those. But one, I really want to make this podcast what we've learned about programming, about health, about wellness through those experiences of 12. What are you on, like 13 or some years?
Because we've done it all. We started CrossFit as a means to fill a void of competitiveness because I was a college athlete as well. And then it turned into a sport where we would train for 4 hours a day and just do stupid things. I mean, that was in our 20s. No regard for longevity or health. It was, how can I be the best at the sport at that moment? Which that's what athletes do. They're not concerned about health or longevity. Switching over to more of health and longevity, but still being at the top of the sport-ish. And now owning a business where we're in charge of nearly 200 people's health and fitness. It's a lot.
Make no mistake, not to cut you off, though. Make no mistake, with that job, we pretty much anyone that you know in CrossFit, we have their phone number. I've actually called one time, believe it or not, you might not remember this, the person who does the scoring for the CrossFit Games, and he has a few other jobs. And because I wanted to show our gym that I had a hunch that if you could do 50 people, 100 people, that I think that CrossFit Weber has one of the fittest gyms in the entire world.
You're talking about in the open.
In the open.
Yep. So taking our top 50 versus everyone in the open.
And then the top 100, et cetera.
Yeah.
And so when you do say health and longevity, I want to let you know that that is no, that is not to say that if you come to our gym for 5+ years, you're someone like Jenny Christopher or Trisha, or I mean, I'm just naming some moms. There's tons of others. Gary Jarvis. You're going to be one of the fittest people on the planet by just showing up. In the way that the open would tell you that fitness. Now, there's some argument there that that's not. I consider the fittest in the world for longevity someone who can wake up pain-free from time to time. You're going to be sore. Who can do it all, who can run, who can jump, who can lift, who can, you know, do things. I'm ranting a little bit, but
So there is a, since we teach this to people on the weekends, there is a true definition of fitness.
What is it?
Work capacity across broad time and modal domains. That's a lot of wordiness. So what we take out of the definition of fitness is how we structure our program, because we know the true definition of fitness, and therefore we can apply our depth of knowledge to our own program. We don't contract out. We have contracted out.
Mind you, some of the biggest programs have paid us money actually to write programs for them.
So we used to use Train for the Win. That was Matt Chan and Eric O'Connor, who are both on CrossFit seminar staff. Again, a depth of knowledge. Anyone can buy a program and be like, wow, that's Annie Thorazar's program. She was third at the games. Like, I want to be like Annie. Anyone can just buy a program and be like, that's pretty sexy. I'm going to do that. But buying a program doesn't guarantee you the results that Annie Thorazar has.
No, it actually is going to, more than likely it's going to
hinder
your results.
Correct. So in that definition of fitness, we give a lecture at the level one that's called What is Fitness? And there's four different categories that we use to assess fitness. And if you want, do you want to go into that or?
I kind of want to go into.
Basically, that's what we base our program off
yeah.
of, is the true definition of fitness in those four different models. It talks about like different energy systems. Like, are we doing short, medium, or long?
Mm-hmm.
Are we doing like kind of randomized stuff? Like if you were to put a bunch of tasks in a big jar and pull one out, could you be capable of performing that task? And there's the health model as well that goes into that of health and wellness, where you're at on a spectrum in terms of being sick, well, or fit.
Yeah.
And then the 10 general physical skills, where there's just like a bunch of skills and drills and things. Like some are, you know, improved through training, some are just organic. And that's just a bit of the science behind it.
Yeah. I want to go into the more common questions than maybe on the programming, because okay. there's some things that might differ. So we use the ergs a ton, and typically the workouts are longer.
Correct. So CrossFit by nature is an aerobic sport.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone tells you that it's not, they have a misunderstanding of the program. You have to be able to do stuff for a long time, for a while, to be good at CrossFit.
Yeah. So a little more into that science piece. Your anaerobic threshold peters out, means it just kind of like goes bye-bye at about 90 seconds. So about 90 seconds of work. There is another energy system like the phosphocreatine that is like very, very powerful, 0 to 10 seconds. But anything above, you know, 2 minutes, is aerobic. So the goal is to be able to do as much work as you possibly can while staying aerobic, because when you reach that anaerobic threshold, you only have, your time is ticking.
Anaerobic threshold, if you, in like layman's terms, is like a red line.
Sure.
Like when you go out way too hard and you just have nothing left.
Yeah.
That's when you're like, and I'm done.
Yeah.
And we aim to stay below that threshold for an extended period of time.
Correct.
Because that is true fitness.
But there are times that you're working the anaerobic threshold, actually all the time. There's not like shifting a gear in a car where all of a sudden you're like, boom, I'm anaerobic, boom, I'm aerobic. They're all firing congruently. But if your training doesn't really bias the aerobic system and you doing a high amount of reps, then you're going to be challenged a little bit.
It was funny because I was watching the 2015 games on YouTube a couple weeks ago, and it was Murph. That was the first time they had done Murph. And the announcer was like, because the games is like the pinnacle, right?
Yeah.
That's the 0.1% of athletes. She's like, this should be a good reminder to us normal people that we should always think about going long and not just short workouts all the time. And I was like, we go long all the time.
Yeah.
Like we don't fear 20-minute AMRAPs. We don't fear those 30-plus-minute AMRAPs for that reason.
There's also a huge stake in health the longer that your aerobic energy system and the more robust it is. Because when you run out of your anaerobic, when you run out of your aerobic system, you die. And then things we learned through Max when we were doing ticker training, not that we're doing that at the moment, but about the heart rate, is that if you're very, very heavy and you only train anaerobic, or your body is used to becoming anaerobic, it can have high detriments on your health. What that means is, like last night, I felt like absolute garbage. And when I woke up in the middle of the night, I was kind of sweating. My heart rate was probably elevated enough that my body was like, whoa, what are you doing? Now, I didn't go anaerobic because, you know, it probably only got up to like 98. But sometimes if people just walk up the stairs and they get to a heart rate of 165, their body doesn't really know the difference from fight or flight.
That's
fight.
Stress on the body.
Yes,
still.
It's still a lot of stress on the body. So that's something that we kind of consider in the programming. The next thing I want to go, and when I say we, I mean, you bounce questions off me, but it's you writing this program. So the next thing is about repetition or greasing the groove. Coach Gluck.
Can you explain what
Greg is? Yeah, so I'm about to. Greg Glassman, the original owner of CrossFit, who wrote all the literature. You can like him, hate him, doesn't matter, but his literature's still his and still there. He was a big fan of this, one of my favorite trainers, Pavel Tostoulani. and Russian guy, big kettlebell guy. And his concept on greasing the groove was if you can do one, let's call it a Turkish get-up. You could do one Turkish get-up at 53 pounds every minute on the minute for 10 minutes. And then what you would do is you would start the following week and you would do two reps on minute one, and then you would do 1-1-1-1 until you reached your 10 minutes again. And then on the following week, you would do 2-2-1-1-1. And this was the way that he was training the Russians. And they developed volume. They got stronger at the same time. Their aerobic system got better at the same time. And they were, because the volume they were getting, the skill acquisition came. When I say skill acquisition, meaning they got better at the movement. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I think the word redundancy, you're like, damn, are we really doing chest to bar pull-ups and toes to bar again this weekend, double unders? And I don't swear a lot. You bet your fucking ass we are, because those are highly complex skills. Now, the 0.001% of people who might think like, that's high, but a legless rope climb is high, or a handstand walk's high, or a deficit handstand push-up is high. That is for the average human being, for the above average human being, a lot of those skills are not that great to practice because the risk reward is a little bit too high. And then you might see someone, I'm going to let you go a second. They might see someone like Jordan Chefs, the chef maker, right? Do not compare yourself to Jordan or Annie or other people, you know, Audrey doing extra, people you see who have specific goals, and they might have to do those skills for sport. Those are some things that they work on. They practice them. Once they're good enough at them and they've acquired enough practice, then they utilize them in maybe a workout. If you think that you're going to start, you just legless rope climbs, boom, I can do one, throw it in a Metcon, you know, with some heavy squat cleans at 2 1/4, yada, yada, you're not going to make it. And this is coming from someone who has made it, I guess, in the sport. So hear what I'm saying about that. Go ahead.
That is why, I mean, we entered the skill work pre-open, but we do a lot of those stupid warm-ups, right? Like the kip swings plus the kip plus this, yeah. Like that's working on the technique of it, because when you're at intensity and you're seeing red, like watching the clock, making sure you're getting your reps, that's an inappropriate time to practice those movements.
Correct.
Anytime you want to practice those movements, like no one wants to hear this, it takes extra time.
It does.
And it takes you grabbing a coach or texting a coach and saying, hey, can you spend, you know, 15 minutes with me?
And it might take you paying a coach because that's their time as well.
Yeah.
If your goal is to, we keep using the handstand walk. Let's use another skill. If you really want to ring muscle up and you want to hire someone, you know, one of us, we're going to have to like leave or make time or whatever, but I can text you over the phone. Do you have 3 to 5 strict chest to bar pull-ups?
Correct.
And 3 to 5 strict dips? Yeah. Because it's not in the conversation yet.
Right.
It's not in the conversation yet because you don't have the prerequisite strength.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's strength and technique involved. And mm-hmm. You always say too, like, well, what did you have for breakfast?
Yeah.
It goes with, you know, taking a deeper, I guess, commitment to training. It's not to say that we're not going to practice those sometimes, like doing them in skill work or, you know, things like that. But for general fitness, our CrossFit definition of fitness, that's the 0.001%. Those sexy party tricks are 0.001% of what our goal is. And our goal is, it's hard at age 25 to be like, yeah, I care about my health and longevity, but take it from two people who have been there and been at the top of the sport. Like it's important.
Well, what's funny is you probably, if you come to class frequently, you'll hear me joke about this, and I'm not joking that hard. A lot of people I competed with don't compete anymore.
Not only do they not compete, but they don't do CrossFit anymore.
Correct.
A lot of people that competed with us at the high level, of doing squat snatches, muscle ups and handstand walks in a single workout week after week, they can't put their arms above their head anymore.
Yeah.
We know one. And those people have lost functional capacity because they did too much too soon, in their journey.
Yeah. I personally have never felt better.
Yeah.
And that's really, really weird. I mean, I remember competing for a year where my shoulder hurt so bad. And there, it didn't matter. There wasn't an option.
Right.
I still had to do the task. And I remember thinking, well, my shoulder's just going to hurt for the rest of my life. That's just how it works. Mm-hmm. Or I'll have to stop this one day. Whatever. Back then, you don't care about that.
Yeah.
My shoulders feel unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Now, it's because there is the state of like, oh, well, you could do this. These weights are lighter for you now. You know, Andrew, 115 for you doesn't feel like 115 for me. So I am a little sore all the time, or I am beat up. Hey, that's okay. No one said you had to do 115.
Yeah.
No one did.
Yeah.
You know, like me doing the 115 or you doing the 85, that might be equivalent to somebody doing going 55.
Right.
That doesn't mean we're better or anyone's better. It just means that the muscle tissue can handle it.
Right. And don't get me wrong. Like, I've been an advanced enough athlete and an advanced enough programmer where I can throw the nastiest workouts that you've ever seen together. The nastiest.
Yeah.
And you look at that and you say, I can't do one of those things as prescribed.
Yep.
99.99% of the people are going to look at a day like that and say, you know what? I'm not going to come to the gym today. And that's not our goal. Our goal is to see, like, I just did a poll in the tribe group. Most of the people answered that they came to the gym 4 or more days in a row.
That is extremely rare. And I'm doing a podcast with somebody in March, like more business type stuff. But he said that he's pulled over 200 CrossFit gyms and most people don't show up 3 times a week.
Yeah.
And yes. we have people, and I don't think enough people participate in that poll. I'll be honest. I think 70 to 100 people probably come 4 times a week.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not saying that's smart. Like, if you're beat up or whatever, you take your rest. But
most people know their bodies enough and they're doing the workouts correctly to their level where they can come that many times a week.
Yeah.
So by all means, if you want more advanced programming, come see us and I will lay it out there for you. I'll give you the hard truth. If you would like, hey, you're just not ready to get upside down and walk on your hands because you don't have a good shoulder press.
I love it, the handstand walk.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, if you don't have a perfect shoulder press, like bar path, good shoulder position, you have no business walking on your hands because what's going to happen is you have to bend your back in a way to balance you. Your feet have to be so far over your shoulders in the wrong way that you look like the exorcist walking down the stairs upside down. Like, that's not health. But I will for sure.
That's really nice of you. If you come to me, and this doesn't mean I'm tough. Trust me, I don't even like the word tough. But if you come to me and say, I want to do a handstand walk, I'll be like, do you have a swipe card? Or swipe. Fucking practice it. I don't give, like, you, there is nothing, there's no magic pill. There's no fairy dust. There's no anything. You're going to fall several hundred times until you figure it out.
Or you'll get injured.
Hey, and guess what? You might also figure it out and you might have a new skill. But just putting it in a workout doesn't mean that gets you the skill. You have to come in and do it. Jake Gilman's a good example of someone. He doesn't realize this, but when he got his first ring muscle up, God, I swear, he had no concept that he could even do it.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I want someone to get their first muscle up. The last thing I want
is... He's been really focused on his technique.
He has. He brought intensity down over the last... And hey, you know, maybe it is time for someone like that to work a little. Mm-hmm. Hey, maybe you should practice a little handstand walk. Maybe you should take one day off of programming and come in and pick 4 skills and do that.
I had a couple of people ask me, like, they're really frustrated about their bar muscle-ups. And I'm like, well, how are your strict chest to bar pull-ups? Like, I can't even fathom doing that. It's like... I'm trying to save your joints here and you should have that capacity before I let you fling like an asshole on the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be mad at me if you want. That's fine. You can go to a gym that lets you swing like an asshole on the bar by all means. But, I won't say I told you so.
No, it's sad because every single person we care more about we don't care more about their health, but it keeps us up at night if we don't think that we're giving you the most amount of our brain.
Right.
I can't tell you the amount of brain power that we use in conversation and sitting and thinking. And and okay, what's the next best move for the community?
Right. And it's hard too when you see the CrossFit Games because so the CrossFit Games goes two ways, I think, for people. Number one, they've never done CrossFit. They see the CrossFit Games and like, I could never do that. So it keeps them out of a CrossFit gym. And we're like, no, it's not like that. And then number two, someone looks at that and they're like, wow, that's sexy. I wish I could be doing that at my gym. And you're like, no, it's not supposed to be like that.
Yeah.
That's the pinnacle of the sport. That would be expecting NBA quality shots up when you're just playing backyard pickup.
Sure. Yeah, so brought NBA to it.
We don't push that type of programming on you for that reason. Like number one, it's hard to stick to something for 5 years as it is.
Extremely hard.
It has to be fun. This is like something that I don't think people understand too, is I have to think about not only people's fitness and health, but like, how can I make this fun?
Mm-hmm.
Someone that sees squat snatches, muscle ups, and handstand walks, number one, I can count on one hand how many people can RX that in our gym. And it's not to say that we're better or worse. It's just that.
I argue from the beginning of this podcast, one of the fittest gyms in the entire world, if not the.
Yeah, still fitness, but that's one workout. Those are three movements that don't say anything about your fitness.
Yeah, and probably no one knows JoJo Goggins. Yeah, I can't say no one. She comes to 6:30. She has improved so much. What am I possibly, someone who started exercise, I don't know JoJo's age. I just know that she has a daughter who I went to high school with, same grade.
Yep.
There we go. So how about this? Handstand walk, squat snatch, ring muscle up. I don't really think that she's going to get the proper stimulus out of that to produce her current level of fitness if she wasn't doing things like 30 minutes, having an erg involved so she can recover, gain cardiorespiratory endurance, flush lactic acid out, and actually keep her heart rate a little bit more sustained and higher while doing some lighter, perhaps lighter lifting and skill based on her level. If you didn't do bar muscle ups this, if you're listening to this last week in the workout and you have bar muscle ups, that's on you. I got myself 50 or 60 bar muscle ups in that workout. I am good. I'm good for a couple weeks because I'm like, well, I need to scale up to reach. That's why you put that in there.
Yeah. So I think the quote unquote redundancy of the program or this seems like too simple to be effective. That's why it's so effective.
Damn.
Because it's simple. And
damn,
we can't, if we did double unders once every 7 weeks, guess who's going to be terrible at double unders? Everyone.
Absolutely.
If we did toes to bar once a month, guess who's going to be terrible at toes to bar? Everyone.
Yep.
That's why we program even higher volume. Like we have the capacity to do higher volume.
If you go to another gym, I feel like Andrea came back from this and she went to another gym. She's like, Andrea's never someone who's going to, like, she works really hard.
She traveled.
Yeah, yeah. She and Andrea works really freaking hard. And a lot of people look at Andrea and be like, man, she's very fit. And she's not the personality who would come back and be like, I beasted that people. Like, that's not her. She came back. She was kind of like, I was like they weren't even, it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's, that happens frequently. So
yeah,
we just wanted to drop a note because I don't think we talk about the program enough. Sometimes I'll rant at the whiteboard or sometimes whatever. And I just want you to know the thought that is being put behind it is really coming from a place of longevity. And when I say longevity, I'm like, Craig is going to be 56. If you are a 25-year-old and you want Craig's life, it starts right frickin' now.
Yeah.
And he will tell you firsthand, he wishes he would have probably, well, he's done a lot really, really well. He takes massive care of his health. He knows when he's going to bed. He does his blood work. He does saunas. He does this. He does that. So first of all, start there. But you're not going to reach that by, like, just getting a legless rope climb is not going to reach you there.
Right.
It's.
Jordan's another great example of that.
We only got 50 seconds.
Okay. Jordan knows what time she goes to bed every night. She gets up at the same time. She puts in hours and hours and hours of logging her food, everything.
She doesn't party.
She doesn't do drugs. She eats healthy. She does it all. So if you guys have any questions about the program, would love for you to talk to me, talk to Andrew, And just know that we have your best interest in mind.
And we're always open.
We're always open. If you would like more party tricks or to learn more about party tricks and how they affect your overall fitness, by all means, come see me.
Cool. See you guys.